It is too bad that this is not a retreat. Because were it a retreat, we could speak and speak and speak about the magnificent readings the Holy Mother of the Church has given to us on this first Sunday of Lent. And as some of the scholars and liturgists and theologians and doctors of the Church mentioned to us also, in a sense, this is the first day of Lent. Even though we have begun with Ash Wednesday and its wonderful ceremonies, even though we have had the season of Septuagesima for several weeks, nevertheless, those things, those seasons, that season was added in response by the Latin Rite Catholics to the Greeks, who boasted that they did a lot more fasting and abstinence and sacrifice and penance than the Latins did, than the Romans did. And don't let anyone fool you, from the very beginning of the Church, there has been strife between the East and the West, between the Greeks and the Latins, and this is part of it. So the Supreme Pontiffs allowed and began the season of Septuagesima. By the time of the great St. Gregory, whose liturgy we celebrate, and it goes back at the very least to him, some things go back to the apostles themselves. Because of that, by that time, and he ruled the Church from 590 to 604, 605. And so by this time, the Septuagesima season, Ash Wednesday, all had been added to the days of Lent, so that the Latins could show that they too could sacrifice and abstain and so forth. But that was a long time ago. Today, who knows who does what? Sometimes I think that, for the most part, most Catholics don't do anything. But those who call themselves traditionalists do very little. And as I've said before, it's all focused on what I give up for Lent. It's not so much what you give up for Lent. And yes, you need to give up things for Lent. That's good. But you also have to do a lot more penance, a lot more prayer, a lot more meditation on the Gospels, on the Scriptures, and on the writings of the saints about the life of Christ, particularly the Passion of Christ and the wonderful revelations of the Most Holy Mother of God about these events. But today, then, we begin, in a sense, this season of Lent. And, of course, like I said, we could spend hours and hours on the epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. It's magnificent. It has so many things. And you should meditate on this epistle this week and see how you are bringing it about. And see, where are you in this epistle? Are you on the right side or on the wrong side? Are you on the positive side or on the negative side? Are you on the side of Christ or on the side of the tempter? Do you use any old thing as an excuse not to do what you should do? Our Lord did not, and he gave us the example. Such an example that in this occasion, he permits his primordial enemy. And by the way, he was his best friend, in a sense, in heaven. Lucifer, the brightest, most beautiful angel in heaven, the closest to God. And he refused to obey. He refused to believe. He refused to worship the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who would become man. This is already predestined by God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so, he fell. And from Lucifer, which he is not any longer, Christ is the true Lucifer, the light bearer of heaven and of the church. He is the light of the world. He became Satan and Beelzebub, and those who followed him. It doesn't matter who you are. There are those who will be against you and those who will follow them. Now, how can we complain when the greatest angel, the most beautiful angel, had followers against God himself? Of course, we have to have enemies. And sometimes they are from those who are the closest persons to us. And that makes it all the more tragic, all the sadder. And so it was. And so now he allows him. There are two times in the life of Christ when Satan and his minions were allowed to tempt him, to test him, to do all kinds of evil to him. It was at this occasion, the temptation in the desert, when Christ, to give example to the apostles and disciples, after he had chosen some of them, went to the desert and for 40 days and 40 nights abstained from everything. And then after the 40 days and 40 nights, his all too human body was hungry. And of course, this gospel also asserts and reasserts what we believe, what we will soon chant in the most wonderful creed: true God and true man, the Son of God Almighty, the Son of the ever virgin Immaculate Mary. He did this so that he could suffer. The divine nature cannot suffer at all, ever. But he took on the human nature in the hypostatic union. It's not two persons, it's one person. That's what hypostatic means. But the human nature was still the human nature. And everything that pertains to man except for sin and its consequences. And so he suffered. So for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was indeed hungry. And St. Matthew tells us that. The Holy Spirit, through him, tells us that. And so it was a perfect opportunity, in a sense. And you know, the devil takes perfect opportunities in your life and mine. When we are down, he comes and kicks us and tells us, you know, you don't have to do this. You don't have to get up and say Mass on every day of the week or Sundays or any other time. Why do you need to do that? Why do you need to listen to people's confessions, all the disgusting sins that they commit, that turn your stomach? And you have to keep a smile on your face. Why do you have to do this? He wants to bring us down. And of course, he has brought, oh, so many priests and bishops down, hasn't he? In so many ways. And so he takes opportunity. Christ was hungry, so he comes. It was so disgusting to Christ to see Satan. And so he says to him, if you are really the Son of God... Haven't we heard these words sometimes? If you really are this, or you really are that, prove it to me. That's what he's saying, really. Prove it to me. Now see, Satan, it was hidden from him. He was always trying to find out, from Bethlehem on, whether this was the one that was expected, the Messiah, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, become man. He did not know, not even here did he know yet, but he almost knows. And so he says, if you really are God, then you have all the power. You are infinitely powerful. Look at all these stones in the desert. Tell them to become loaves of bread and have your fill. You're not going to be hungry after that. And our Lord answers him with words that on the one hand are from the scripture, on the other hand, teach us, and thirdly, it affirms who he is. And he says, not in bread alone doth man live. Does he sustain his life? But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And who is the word that comes from the mouth of God? What do we say after every Mass? The Word was made flesh. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. That is what Christ says to him. But he's too stupid, too proud to understand. And he still wants to push it. And so he takes them to the pinnacle of the temple, the parapet, also it's called. And that means it was the highest point in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. The whole valley was underneath. Anyone who dropped from there was dead. And so he says to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. Because he has said, he will put his angels in charge of thee, lest you even so much as stumble upon a stone. Not even your toe will you hurt. You will be protected if you are the Son of God. And we just heard it. He's quoting Psalm 90, which we say in the Divine Office at least once or twice a week during Lent. Psalm 90. Meditate on it on your own. Because you're not supposed to just walk out of here and forget everything. You need to take something with you to think about it, to meditate, to pray. So Psalm 90, which the Schola has chanted so beautifully. It is the longest tract in the liturgy. The longest tract. And then our Lord says to him, it is written. He quotes the scripture. Now, the devil knows the scripture, by the way, not as well as Christ, but he knows it better than any pope, bishop, doctor, or theologian ever has or ever will. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You must remember that. How many times you go into occasions of temptation and say, oh, I'm strong enough. You know, that's pride. Pride goeth before the fall, always. Oh, I can handle this. Look at my muscles. And of course, that's speaking about spiritual muscles, not physical muscles. Physical muscles melt like wax before the devil. And so we go, we proceed into places or groups or whatever where there is evil, and where our soul is in tremendous danger. So our Lord tells us that we should not tempt the Lord our God. And then again, the devil is allowed one more try. And he takes him up into the mountains. Who knows? Maybe Mount Everest. Or maybe Mount Europa. In the southern Alps, where Blessed Pier Giorgio used to go and pray before Our Lady's image that was made by St. Luke. One of the highest mountains. And he says, look around. Everything you see. It was the best GPS ever made. Everything all over the world. You see all these kingdoms, these palaces, all the wonderful things in Greece and Persia and Rome and everywhere else. In Ethiopia, in India, in China. All these magnificent temples and palaces and everything you can think of. And we should know all that. Being Catholic and being a good Catholic doesn't mean that you're a doofus or a stupid idiot. You need to know. You need to learn. Knowledge is power. Even in the spiritual realm. And so he says, all this belongs to me. And don't forget that. All this belongs to him. Not this temple which is consecrated to God and to the Blessed Mother. But the whole world, everything that you see, everything that you see all these horrible people going after. So, I will give it all to you if you get down on the floor and worship me. Imagine that. Satan telling God, I will give it all to you if you get down on the floor and worship me. Now see, he wasn't sure he was God. That proves it. Because if he knew that he was God, he knew that he created everything. All that is. And all that God has created in the minds of men to show us how to make these things. These beautiful marble floors were not made by angels. They were made by man. And were designed by man. And the windows and the ceiling. And then all throughout the world, all the magnificent churches that we see. But they're done with the intelligence and the talent that is given by God to individuals. And so our Lord finally has had it with him. And he says to him, be gone, Satan. Get away. For it is written, the Lord thy God shall thy adore, and him alone shall thou serve. And the devil, screeching, went away. And then all of a sudden, legions of angels came and served him, washed him, and gave him the most wonderful foods and the most wonderful drinks, and took care of him. And this is what our life as Catholics should be. This is what Lent for us Catholics should be. We must God first, and everything else later. And all things will be given unto thee. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his justice, and all else will be given unto thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.